Be seated. So for the past several weeks, we have been kind of unpacking this prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians, and we've been talking about how you know, there's so many times in our lives we kind of experience this nagging feeling that there's something more, that God has something more for us, that there's something more to our lives. And you know, so I was kind of thinking like let's just pretend this morning that you were a Giants fan. Well, I want to say to you, but wait, there's more. Because you could root for the most storied franchise in all of the NFL and the greatest of all football teams, the Dallas Cowboys. That was special for my son-in-law this morning. I'm trying to convert him. So, but for real, like we would say, you know, yes, maybe you believe in God. Maybe you even come to church every now and then. Like maybe there are religious practices that you participate in. But then we would say, but wait, there's more. Like God has something more for you. You can surrender your life to Him, and He'll make His home. That's what this passage of Scripture promises us. He will make His home in your heart. There's something more than just believing that Jesus is real and participating in some religious practices. You can surrender your heart and your life to Christ. But wait, there's more. There's more than even that. Once you surrender your heart and your life to Christ, you can grow roots down into the depths of God's love. And those roots will give you strength to withstand all of the adversity, all of the heartache, all of the pain that this life tends to throw at us. But wait, there's more. Because that love that you're growing roots down into, once you're rooted, that love that you're growing roots down into, it is vast beyond your imagination. You can dive into God's great love. You can let it wash over you. You can explore its dimensions. But wait, there's more. Because everything that we've been talking about in Scripture over the past 3 weeks has led us to this moment right here today. All of it has been building to what we're going to talk about today. What God has to offer you and I this morning is beyond our wildest dreams. And we read about it just a little bit earlier as we were reading Scripture together from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. I'm going to read from the New International Version, read this passage from the New International Version. But here's what it says in Ephesians 3, verse 19. Paul's just been talking about that he wants for the church in Ephesus, he wants for you and I to know the dimensions of God's love, how high, how wide, how long, how deep that love is, and to experience that love. And then he says in verse 19, he says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, listen to this, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And so there's some truths that we're going to unpack from this passage of Scripture this morning that I'm telling you, this is the pinnacle of everything we've been talking about. It's all been leading to this. Here are some things God wants to do in your life right now, today, if you have surrendered to Him, if you're rooted in Him, if you're immersed in His love. What He wants to do next is God wants to fill you. That's what He wants to do. Now, that word that's translated fill in this passage, in the Greek, it has this implication of making something complete. Anybody seen the movie Jerry Maguire? It's kind of an older movie, but there's this scene at the end of the movie where Jerry Maguire is just being real sappy, and he's telling the girl that he's fallen in love with. He's saying, "You complete me." Do you guys remember that? I want to say something. That's a complete fairy tale, okay? There is no person that will complete you, okay? It doesn't work. If you're looking for someone who completes you, you're going to be looking the rest of your life. It doesn't happen, okay? But that completeness, that sense of wholeness and completeness that we desire, we know, like innately, we know that we're not whole. We know that we're broken. We know that we are incomplete. And I'm telling you, the source of completeness, the source of perfection, the source of wholeness in our lives is Jesus Christ. God will fill us. He will make us whole. He will make us complete. That's what Paul is saying is going to happen. That's what Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. When we surrender to Christ, when we become rooted in his love, when we immerse ourselves in the vast love of God, God begins to fill us. God begins to transform us. God begins to recreate us in his image. We become what we were created to be. And that's the goal of everything that Paul has been praying, that we will become what we were created to be from since before the beginning of time. God had a plan, a desire for you, a person that he wanted for you to become. And so that's what he wants to do this morning. He wants to make you whole. Man, anybody need that this morning? Anybody longing for that sense of completeness, for the broken things in your life to be put together, to be made whole? I think about an artist, a painter, and I think about some of the great masterpieces that have been created. I don't know if you knew this, but canvas that an artist would paint on, those were oftentimes really expensive, particularly in the ancient world. And the fact of the matter is that artists, you know, typically don't have a lot of money, generally speaking, right? And so a lot of times what they would do is they would have like a canvas that they've been painting on, and then whenever they were creating their masterwork, they would take a canvas that had already had a painting on it, and they would whitewash over it, they would paint over it, and then they would paint their masterpiece. And so now we have technology now where museum curators are able to look, you know, beyond the painting that's happened and see like the paintings that the artist had done before behind that there's these other paintings behind those. And so that's fascinating, something that we never even knew about until just in the past, you know, several decades. And so that's a crazy new experience. Some of the greatest works of art ever created actually have works that are painted behind them that have been whitewashed over. And for some of us, that's the process that God wants to perform in our lives. There's like a stick figure drawing that we've been trying to do on the canvas of our lives. And what God wants to do is God wants to paint over that attempt, that broken and misfit attempt to create some kind of masterpiece or some kind of artwork out of our lives. He just wants to paint over that. And he wants to, out of his own imagination, out of his own artist heart, he wants to produce in you a work that's beyond your wildest dreams, more than you could ever imagine, a masterpiece. That's what Scripture describes the work that God wants to do in your heart and in my heart as. And so some of us, man, we need to have the past painted over. And God takes all of that stuff in our past, all that brokenness in our past, and somehow he turns it into this beautiful, amazing, glorious work of art. He wants to fill you. I think about a potter too, you know, a potter sitting at a potter's wheel with a bunch of clay, just this formless blob of clay. But there's something really intimate and beautiful about the work that a potter creates, because the clay is formed by the hands of the artist. The artist's hands shape it. And unless the clay is able to rest in the hands of the potter, right? Unless he's able to shape it, then that clay doesn't ever become the work of art that's in the artist's imagination. And I want to say, for some of us, we're really just kind of broken shards, just kind of shapeless lumps of clay. And what the Lord God wants to do, if you will place yourselves in the hands of the Lord God this morning, he will shape you, he will form you, he will cause you to become something beautiful. And remember, he's going to shape you into something that exists in his imagination. That's the way an artist works. When he looks at this shapeless mound of clay, he doesn't see that. He sees this beautiful work of art that he wants to produce. The only way he can do that, though, is if we place ourselves in his hands. If we allow ourselves to be shaped and formed by the potter. And so if we will surrender ourselves to God, if we will allow our roots to begin to grow down into his love, if we will immerse ourselves in the love of God, then he's going to make us whole. He's going to make us complete. He's going to shape and form us into something that is impossible for you and I to imagine or dream of on our own. That's what God wants to do for every person in this room today. Is that not good news? Here's the next thing. God wants to fill us, but this is the best part. Listen to this. God is the one doing the measuring. Did you see that? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God is the one who's doing the measuring. The measure, in fact, is the fullness of God, the completeness of God. God is wanting to make us complete in the same way that he is complete. It's his measure that matters in our lives. And isn't that so wonderful? Isn't that so beautiful? Some of us have been working all of our lives, and we'll come to church like this, and we'll look around at other people around us, and we'll think, man, I just wish I could have it together as that person, you know? I wish I could have it as much together as this person over here. Some of you may even make the horrible mistake of looking at me and thinking, boy, I wish I could have my spiritual life together as much as Brett. But trust me, the bar is really low if that's what you're shooting for, okay? What I want you to hear this morning is that the measure is not any one of us. That's a flawed measure. That's an incomplete measure. That's not anything that you want to shoot for. What God promises you, what he wants to do in you, is so much more than that. He wants to make you complete and whole as he is complete and whole. He wants to use his measure when he's talking about how full he could make you. And I don't know about you, but that is a beautiful promise from the Lord God for us this morning. And some of us need to just admit together that we have been settling for incomplete measures in our lives. And it's time for us to set aside the incomplete measure and receive from the hand of God the fullness that he wants to give us. That's the promise that God has for you this morning. He wants to fill you. He's the one doing the measuring. And then, and this is what it's all been leading to, God wants to make you like him. Did you see? That you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. It's his measure. He wants you to be full as he is full, complete as he is complete. That's the work that God is doing. He wants to make you like him. He wants to make you like his son. And Paul actually references this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus, and this is some beautiful language. I want you to hear this. He says, so all of us who have had that veil removed and can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. What Paul's writing to the church in Corinth is he's like, guys, as beautiful and as amazing as this gospel is, you can only see it like you're looking through a veil. It's way more beautiful than we could even imagine. This world can't even see the full glory of who God is and what he wants to do. But once God begins to pull that veil back just a little bit, once he begins to let you look past that veil, you're going to see his glory. But his glory's not even the best part. He wants to cause his glory to fill and to encompass you. He wants to change you into his glory. He wants to make you into his glorious image. He wants to make you like him. Praise be to God. All of this has been leading up to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that would make us like Christ. Man, I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. Can I be honest with you? Like, I have wanted to be like a lot of people in my life. I've wanted to be like my dad. I've wanted to be like my granddad. I've wanted to be like some of the pastors and some of the godly men that I was around when I was younger. I've wanted to be like them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those people in my life have been so amazing. Y'all, I'd like to be a whole lot more like my wife, to be honest with you. And that's good. Those are wonderful things. Those are good things to set out in front of us. But what God has for me and what God has for you is so much more than that. He wants to make us like His Son. He wants for who we are to be swallowed up by His glory. And I got to tell you, the thought of that, the idea of that, it's all at once beautiful, awe-inspiring, and terrifying, all at once. And then, after this, in Ephesians chapter 3, it's almost like Paul is anticipating our objection, right? Or a question that we might ask, because I don't know about you, but when I hear God wants to make me like Him, He wants to make me whole, complete, like He is whole and complete. When I hear that, I'm like, man, I don't know if that's possible. Because I am a mess. I hurt people. I'm broken. I fail repeatedly. I don't know if it's possible for God to make me like Him, for my life to be swallowed up by His glory. Maybe God doesn't realize what an absolute dumpster fire I actually am. And so Paul says in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, he says this, "Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And so I know that there's someone here this morning, and just like me, you're thinking, all that stuff about God making us like Him, that's good for some of these other folks that are sitting in this church this morning. And if you're watching on the live stream, that's good for some of those other folks who are watching or who are in the church this morning. Those people seem to have it together. Those people seem to be on the right track. Those people seem to be doing things the right way. But I'm not. I'm broken. I fail repeatedly. And no matter how hard I try, I end up circling back around to these practices that are destructive and deadly to me, and I can't break free from them. And I don't think any of that applies to me, because I'm a joke. I'm a failure. There's no way that that passage could mean me. And to you, Paul says this morning, to me, Paul says this morning, have you forgotten the God that we're talking about? This is the Lord God Almighty. This is the one who spoke and universes sprang into being. This is the one on whom our earth orbits in the palm of His hand. This is the one who parted the seas, who raised the dead. This is the Lord God Almighty. What can He not do? And there is no one in this room that is beyond His grace, that is beyond His power. There's no one in this room that He doesn't desire for His power to be at work within. There's no one in this room that He cannot transform. Trust me. It's His power. God is the one who is able. He is the one who is able. He's able to do so much more than we could ever begin to imagine. God is able to make you whole. And remember, it's His power at work in you. He's not asking you to make yourself like Christ. He's not asking you to do that. And some of you, that's a revelation, because it's the first time maybe that you've really thought about that. You've been working so hard. You've been trying so hard to do the right things and to not do the wrong things. And you've been working so hard to try to make all of it work. And it's exhausting. Like you're never getting it right, and you're always falling short, and you feel like a failure all the time. And what I want to say to you this morning is simply this: stop. Stop. You don't have to make yourself into something. All you have to do is put your life into the hands of the potter. Let him make something out of you. All you have to do is allow the artist to paint on your canvas. Let him do what he wants to do in your life. Your job is simple. Surrender. Submit. That's it. If you would do that this morning, if you would surrender your life to him, if you would allow your roots to grow down deep into his love, if you would immerse yourself in the great love of Christ, then he will change you. He will transform you from the inside out. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 1 says. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays another prayer there. This is Ephesians chapter 3 is Paul's second prayer that he prays for the church at Ephesus. But in Ephesians chapter 1, he's praying for them too. And in Ephesians 1 verse 19, he says this. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Listen to this. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Y'all, I don't know if you heard what I just said. I don't know if you heard what Paul wrote. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in me, and it is at work in you. Resurrection power. And I don't want you to get it twisted this morning. I think sometimes we think that Christian life is supposed to be characterized by a lot of things. We think maybe it's supposed to be characterized by goodness, by kindness, by love, by all of these things. Those things should characterize us. Those things absolutely should be a part of who we are, right, in Christ Jesus. But let me tell you what else our life is supposed to be characterized by. Are you ready? Power! Power. That's what he says. The word in Greek is dunamos. It's the same word that we get the word dynamite from. He's not just talking about something cool or interesting. He's not talking about the fireworks that we shoot up on the 4th of July. He's talking about the dynamite that we use to blow a hole in something. He's talking about the power to reshape our reality. Our lives are supposed to be characterized by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And when God starts to transform us, when he starts to change us, we become people that resurrection just flows out of. It drips off of us. It sloshes over the top of our lives onto everyone around us. And everywhere we go, miracles happen. Lives are transformed. Relationships are put back together. Marriages are restored. People come to know Jesus. Sickness flees. Darkness flees. We should walk in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God wants for that to characterize you. And sometimes I think we forget. And maybe it's because we get so rooted in the day-to-day, we forget that the almighty power of God is living and working in us, that's what he wants. So I'm just going to tell you this morning, as simply as I know how, I need you to understand, when we are surrendered, rooted, and immersed in Christ, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is unleashed in us. And that's what the Lord God wants to do in your life this morning. If we're talking about dunamos, God wants to light your fuse. That's what he wants to do. And if we're not careful, we can settle. We can settle for a life that's comfortable and neat and good. And we can miss the earth-shaking power that God desires to set loose in us and through us. One of these days, friends, we're going to be walking around, those of us who are in Christ, those of us who've surrendered our lives to him, we're going to be walking around in eternity. And I don't know about you, but my hope is that like every couple of steps, The Lord allows me to bump into somebody that His Holy Spirit transformed and resurrected because of the work He was doing in me. I don't know about you, but I am not satisfied with this world as it is. It's a dark and deadly and dangerous place. This is not the world. This is not the world as God intended it to be. His resurrection power is recreating it, is reshaping it, is regenerating it. That's what He's doing. I want to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. I don't want for us to settle for anything less than being complete, full, whole, filled in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we're doing today, y'all. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered yourself to Christ, look, that's step one. All these cool things that we're talking about today, they're not promised to you. Not until you've placed yourselves in the hands of the potter. Not until you've surrendered yourself to Him. And if that's never happened in your life, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you haven't taken step number one, today is the day. I'm so excited for you. God's about to blow your mind. And all you have to do to receive what it is, to begin receiving what God wants to give you this morning, is just say to the Lord God, God, I need You. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to You. If you would say those words and mean them from the bottom of your heart, God will make His home inside of you. He'll cause His Spirit to dwell within you. And He'll begin to allow you to grow roots into His love, to swim around in the depths of His love, and to be transformed by His love. That's His promise to you and I today. And then for so many of us, who are sitting here this morning, we've been hanging out on the surface. We may have surrendered our lives to Christ, but we've settled. We've settled for a life that's far less glorious than the life that God has for us. We've settled for lives that have minimal impact on the world in which we live and on the people that are around us. That's not God's plan for you, friend. It's not God's plan for me. Would you have the courage today to say to the Lord God, I am ready to be filled up with You. Cause Your power to flow through me. Who's ready to do that today? Let me pray for us. Father, You are so good to us. You're so much better, God, so much infinitely better than to us than we deserve. God, Your love extended to us. We can't even imagine it. We can't even get our heads around that. It's so glorious. It's so good. God, would You help us to receive it this morning? Would You help us to lean into that this morning? For those of us who've not surrendered ourselves to You, God, would You give us the courage to place ourselves in Your hands, to surrender our lives to You? God, would You help all of us this morning have the courage to submit ourselves to You, to allow Your power to work through us? God, would you give us the courage to say to You this morning, Lord God Almighty, would You give us the courage to say to You this morning, God, do with me as You will. Pour Your Spirit out on me, God. Cause Your power to flow through me. I want to be an agent of Your change. God, would You give us the courage to say that to You this morning? And we just want to sit back and watch You do Your thing. Lord, we want to sit back and watch You work. Help us to do that this morning.